How did Tits, Tats, and Whiskers get its start?
All right, so we met in the summer 2011. Mina and Astrid, I am Mattia, the drummer, and Astrid is the bassist. Me and Astrid knew each other before, and we was playing in some other project, just for fun, right? I was playing the djembe, and she was playing the bass with the other bands, and... it happened that after one show that we did together, we just hang out for drink some in a very cool bar that now doesn't exist anymore in Tokyo. It was a really small bar, and like once or twice in a month there was some exhibition painting for artists and body painting events. And by chance in that bar, there was an exhibition of Ponzi, which is the actual guitar player and singer of the band. And that's it. And we just met by chance. The next day, we talked a bit. The next day, we met in the park and the band started out. The thing is, when we start, we were a four-piece band. And 1 year later, we become a trio, so we start our trio career, let's say like that, yeah.
Now, Ponzi's from New York City, and Astrid's from the Philippines, and you're from Italy, correct?
Yes.
Nice. So, how does it feel to be from three different, be a band from three different countries in a fourth country?
I don't know, I mean... we are everyone from the planet Earth, right? So, I mean, the culture differences is very exciting, I have to say. And I mean, living in Japan, which is very, very different from Western countries, and being ourselves from different countries is like... Yeah, it's good. It's good. We never tire to talk about something new, right? I don't know how to put this answer.
And now you did perfect, man. I mean, you put it in a nutshell. It's, you know, because Japan is such a unique culture, but they've also embraced a lot of Western culture as well, especially in music.
Especially from America. The Japanese are very how you say, I don't know if it's a bad word, Americanized, you know. Yeah, they are getting a lot of things from America for sure.
Exactly. Well, how did Tits, Tats, and Whiskers get its name?
All right, so this is a strange story. Okay, when we start, we were four of us, right? So we wanted to We was trying to think a name that will describe our personality, and we thought that at that moment, Ponzi Huge Beard, so the singer Huge Beard, was the most characteristic point. But then, we tried to come out with something, but nothing was good enough. Until one day we was drinking on the street with a friend, and drunk, and talking and joking, this guy came out with Tits, Tats, and Whiskers as a joke, because there was a girl in the band, so tits, right?
Yeah.
Tats, because me and Ponzi basically were full of tattoo at that time already, and Astrid has her first tattoo just in that period, and Whiskers because me and Ponzi has a beard, so wow. I mean, we were drunk and we said, yeah, it's perfect, sounds good, and it's like describe our personality, I guess. So we just keep that, you know.
I like how on your website, titstatsandwhiskers.com, in your about section, you've got that listed like that too. Like for you and Ponzi, it says tit, number of tits, 0, number of tats, 7 and 14.
Yeah, basically it's all what is all about, right? How many tattoo and how long is the whisker that we have.
Yeah, and having two tits is common, hopefully.
Yeah, well, two tits is good, just two, right?
Yeah, not three.
Not three.
So, hey, I know some women that have one and just part it down the middle. So, I know some women that have one and just part it down the middle.
Oh yeah, right.
So how would you describe the music of Tits, Tats, and Whiskers?
That's a tough question. So three of us, me, Ponzi, and Astrid, are coming from very different backgrounds, and I like classical. I mean, is kind of my job, classical composer, and I started a heavy metal drummer when I was a kid, and Ponzi is coming from the 90s, he liked Jimi Hendrix and stuff, and he's more 90s rock, and Astrid too is. As 90s rock oriented, and she like also how you say, hold on. Now you have to cut this one. She like also progressive rock and
like Dream Theater and stuff like that.
That is more progressive metal, like I don't know, like Mastodon, Coheed and Cambria, you know.
Oh, this, okay.
Which I don't. Okay, don't do that. I don't like Coheed and Cambria, but well, yeah, it's like that.
Yeah.
But our songs basically are heavily influenced by grunge and the rock and hard rock of the 90s and rock of the 70s, basically. Like, you know, Joe Cocker, Jimi Hendrix, and let's say
something. I hear some of the Who in you guys, too.
What?
I hear some of the Who in you guys, too, like from the Tommy era.
Who, you mean Who, the band?
Yeah, the Who, like Pete Townshend, Roger Daltrey.
I'm not sure. I never really listened to the Who, but, well, maybe. I don't know. I never was a big fan of. I mean, of course, they are amazing, but it wasn't really one of my favorite bands. Maybe Ponzi likes them. I don't know.
Yeah, they're not one of my favorites either. But you're right. I mean, they got big.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
But yeah. Anyways, like Stone Temple Pilots, Foo Fighters, you know, Soundgarden, and
Alice in Chains, and
yeah, Alice in Chains. But so at the end, like to try to explain our genre is like it's something like alternative rock, indie rock with some element of country and blues as well. And whenever we write our song, we try to write those as how I can explain that as we will play it live. So we try to be as raw and not. Excuse me, as raw and natural as we can. So we try to record it with a minimum use of effects. You understand what I mean?
Oh yeah, right? Yeah. I see exactly what you're saying. But yeah. So that takes a lot of time in the practice area too. Then what to hash the songs out?
Yeah. Well, yeah. We practice a lot. We try to be tight, and you know. I mean, if we do something, we try to do it well done.
Yeah, exactly.
We choose this way because we believe that, I mean, this way, in this way, we can easily connect with the audience, right? And I think in these days, the music has too many effects and those kind of things. Overproductive, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we like also to try and bring back the old genuine raw music that there was around some years ago, right? We miss that a lot. So we try doing, I mean, going in that direction.
So having said that, what is the music scene like in Japan, and where does Tits, Tats, and Whiskers fit in?
All right. So in Japan, music scene in Japan, okay, the main scene is basically idol. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's,
so basically no musician scene. All modeling and you know, pretty faces, fake band behind.
So all like a lot of DJs and stuff, or?
Well, DJs is another scene, right? This is not a live scene. But I mean, the mainstream is like, this kind of girls and boys, pretty girls and pretty boys that stand on stage, dance, and play with the bass, recorded bass, you know. Maybe they don't, probably they don't sing live. And it's a bit like that. About the underground scene where we are in, there is a lot of very good band. And the sad point is that the major, I mean, the label and stuff, they don't really, I don't want to say they don't really care, but they don't really notice these kind of good bands that they are playing around, because I don't know why, but it's like that, right? So there is a strong connection in the underground scene, I feel. Well, at least in the rock scene, right? And it's tough in Japan for a foreigner band. It's tough as well because of the lyrics, right? If you sing in English, most of the Japanese doesn't understand English, so it's difficult to connect with people and dude, I don't know what to say. It's like this.
Oh, no, I think I know what you're saying. It's like there's two scenes, basically. You've got this.
Well, the major one.
Yeah.
That is, I think it's all over the world, this difference between major scene, mainstream scene and underground, right? So, but yeah, the language barrier is very strong here. So basically, we start out in Tokyo. We start out with only foreigner bands. So basically, with our friends. When we start the band, we had some friends that was in other bands, and they help us out. Of course, they call us to play in shows in their events, and slowly we build up our following, and slowly we met some Japanese band as well, and we're trying to play an event for Japanese. It's very bad to say, but for Japanese as well. So we're trying to, I mean, we did expand a bit our how you can say in English, reaching point, you know?
Okay, no, breaking point.
Yeah, so not only for foreigners and for friends, but also for some Japanese too. And you know, it's this way. So basically underground bands are all together. And a good thing about underground scene in Japan is that all the underground bands help each other very much. There is no space for, now I forgot the word in English. There is no space for... how you say that? Contest? No, not contest. It's like
competition.
There is no space for competition and jealousy and those stuff, you know?
You ever notice, though, that, I mean, like, underground scenes around the world versus the mainstream scenes everywhere in the world are like that. Like, the mainstream scene is, you know, anywhere you go is fake on many levels, but you go to the underground scene, everybody's nice and helping each other, and it's more of a union.
Yeah, I don't know about the other city. I mean, the other country in the world. I'm, about the underground scene, how it works. But if you tell me so, well, I'm very happy to hear that, because, yeah, well, I mean, it's good, right? It's a community. It's a family. We are doing the same things. We are playing music, and we want to give music to the people that want to listen, right? So it's very nice to help each other in this way, yeah.
Now, being from Japan and talking about the scene like in Japan, or specifically Tokyo, like we just did, with Tits, Tats, and Whiskers being around for a few years now, where is the most exotic place you've played?
I will have to say that it was the Philippines last year. So we got an invitation to headline the second day of a 2 days festival. It was the third edition, right? And yeah, it was last April. It was in Mindanao, in the middle of the jungle, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was an amazing experience, really. They got this place in the middle of the jungle with a river over there, and they built up a very big stage, and people was camping, you know, and there was many local and some international bands as well. And wow, yeah, it was an amazing experience. Like, I would have to say a mini Woodstock, you know. Everyone was free and crazy.
Nice.
It was very nice.
Now, how did the Philippine audience differ from the Japanese audience?
The difference? I guess I cannot really tell this, because the situation was different, you know. I mean, when we play in Japan, we play in live houses, and we play for 1 hour or 1 hour and a half, and then there is the other band playing, and the event is just 3 or 4 hours, right, in total. So in the place in the Philippines where we played was 2 days festival. So and we played as a headlining, headlining for the second days. So the people that were there was very, very, how you say, fucked up, you know?
Loaded and wasted.
Yeah, they was very into music from already 2 full days. So, of course, the reaction is different from being in a live house for 3 hours, right? So I cannot really compare. But, I can't really answer to this question, you know?
Oh, no.
It was two totally different worlds, so...
Different cultures, different societies, man.
Yeah, different situation, and yeah.
Your new album, Laugh, Dance, and Cry, comes out May 16th, correct?
Yes.
And you're going to be touring the U.S. and Canada this year as well, yes. Right?
Now, yes.
What was the songwriting process like for Laugh, Dance, and Cry, and how did the songs come together in the studio?
Basically, the song of this and the previous album, every song that we write, is basically Ponzi coming up with a riff when he is at home, right? And then me and him meet in the rehearsal, just two of us, and try to lay the structure of the song. And then Astrid come in, so we just arrange everything, and we decide the you know, all the embellishment and all the stuff, and then the lyrics come out. Basically, Ponzi is writing the lyrics. Actually, Ponzi is writing the lyrics, a part of one song in the previous album. And yeah, till now was like this. Now, so Laugh, Dance, and Cry as well. It was basically in this way, this process of writing. Now we are preparing the third album that we are almost ready with the composition. And this time basically try to build up the song, all three of us together in the studio. So it's not from me and Ponzi laying the structure and then us to come in. But when Ponzi has a riff, then we meet all together and we try to build up all together the song. Yeah.
Nice. Now, how do you use the internet and social media to promote your music? How do you use it to your advantage?
All right. So, as in these days, almost everybody use internet, right? Most of all, most of all, they use social media, at least underground bands, right? Like Facebook, Twitter, and those stuff, right? And we think it's the most direct connection with people out there. And people are looking for suggestion, news in those communities. Not just for music, but for everything, right? Like place to go and suggestion. And so we try it this way. Plus, of course, website and we try always new methods to share music. Anyway, we're trying to, I can put this one. We try to explore internet, not just social media, of course, but, you know, like, I don't know how to say this one. Yeah, to promote. So, like, try to contact radios, you know, webzine, mm-hmm. magazine, like now we're doing now, right? Like this, Jammerzine, you know?
Yeah, and if you think about it, I mean, it's a new market from just even 20 years ago.
It is a new market, and it's very difficult to learn how to do it right, because everyone has access on it, right? But doing it the right way is a bit tough.
Exactly. Exactly. Like social media back in my day, because I'm 42 now, and I started playing in bands in the late or the early 90s, I would say, and my version of social media was getting a staple gun and plastering the whole city with your posters.
Yeah, I actually miss that, man. I miss that a lot. But yeah, now there is too many information. You know, you open one, let's say Facebook, right? You open Facebook and you have too many information, man. You there is no space for focusing in one point, right? You are distracted all the time with many things, so it's very tough. But it's the only way right now. I mean, not the only way, but the easiest way to try to reach people in your city and, of course, around the world. So we try with that, and
Now, when the album comes out May 16th, when Laugh, Dance, Cry comes out May 16th, what do you have coming up in the way of promoting it?
All right, so before it came out, we was trying to do a promotion, like, yeah, giving some interviews and appearing in some radio program, and of course, like sending our music in radios around the world and wait the answer, right, with the response. So this is a process that we did before, that we are doing right now, actually, before the release. After the release, the way that we promote it, that we will try to promote it, is gonna be mostly website and giving a couple of live shows in Tokyo and try to touch some other cities in Japan. So we plan to promote it live, directly to the people in our cities, in our country where we live, in Japan. And as you said before, we are going to have a 2 weeks tour in US and Canada, so it's going to be a way, we're going to put it there too.
Now, do you have dates already lined up for the US and Canada?
Actually, the exact dates is gonna come up at the end of May. So yeah, it's gonna be everything updating tstatsandwhisker.com. So we're gonna update everything there.
That brings me to my next question: where can we find you guys online?
So www.tstatsandwhiskers.com. Or Facebook, Facebook. You just check these Stats and Whiskers.
Twitter and YouTube and all the info.
Yeah, Twitter. We have a channel in YouTube as well, and of course, well, iTunes and Amazon and those online shops. You can buy our
iTunes, Google Play, and
yeah, those stuff.
Nice. Now, what does Tits, Tats, and Whiskers have coming up for the future? What are your long-term goals?
Well, I just basically answered with the promotion plan after the release, right? So, yeah, we have some shows in Tokyo and around Japan and this tour, and we actually are really excited for this one because we never tour like for more than 5 days, right? A foreigner country, I mean, another country than Japan. So it's gonna be a really nice experience. And then, yeah, we're planning to go back in the studio as soon as we come back from the tour. We are almost ready for the third album, so we are planning to go back and record, to go back on the studio and record the third album, yeah.